Today is Father's Day, and so I want to speak a little bit to the fathers this morning, but I titled my message, A Godly Father or Example. Amen. So it can apply to everybody here. There's things in this message today. Although it's primarily, I prepared it for fathers, there's a lot of good in it. If we just take the scriptures and if you keep notes today and make some notes, I think you'll be blessed with what the scripture has to say just about the kind of person that we ought to be as parents for our children. Amen. And I thank God that I had good parents. I know everyone doesn't have good parents. Amen. We know the world's full of parents that are not a good example and are not a loving father or mother the way they should be. And sometimes it causes all kinds of things within a home and problems and situations. But I'm glad today that if we know Christ, amen, we can live in a family and have an example of a father that helps us along the way, Wayman. Amen. That shows us, and we don't have to be ignorant of the things that make for good fatherhood, if you would. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, you might want to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 to 26, because as I go through my message this morning, I'll be starting with another scripture. But most of it will come out of that when I talk about the traits of a godly father or godly example. 2 Timothy, the second chapter, verses 20 through 26. But I want to start with Psalms 127 this morning. Psalms 127, verses 3 and 4 says this from the King James. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. See, if we would, as fathers, as a young father, I can tell you that never entered my mind, that statement right there. It never entered my mind that the children that I produced as they were born, that they were really something that God had given me and that God was going to inherit someday, that was the will, amen, of our Father, that we would raise children and realize how important they are to Him. But the Scripture said they're the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. Amen. We have a reward too when we raise good kids and they're obedient and they walk in the ways that they should in the teachings of the Lord. But they're really His reward. But I like that fourth verse. Looky there what it says. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. And I thought about that. You know what? Look, arrows are only as good and accurate. Amen. They only hit the target as many times, you know what, as the one that holds that arrow and bends that bow. Amen. And his proficiency with it. And you know, children are that way in our lives. As we teach them and we instruct them and as we give them teaching, you know what, they're only going to grow up to be, you know what, as straight as you and I as a parent shoot that arrow. Or the ways that we teach them. Amen. So your children and my children, they're a heritage. Amen. But they're a heritage of the Lord. But this morning I want us to think of heritage in the terms of not when we're gone, but why we're alive. What our children are going to inherit from us, trait-wise, why we're alive, why we have them as our children. And I'm going to say this to a lot of parents, because I know at 18 years of age, you know, we think, and they should be, we should have taught them, and hopefully they're able to make it on their own. But I've never read in God's Word where a child don't remain our child. And so all through our life as parents, you know what, we have a responsibility if we see them going astray or running into problems. You know what, as a good parent, we still ought to attempt to guide that child. Amen. They're still that which God gave to us. Amen. And we still should have some say so in that child's life. I know I do sometimes, whether they want to hear it or not. Many times they don't. But I still do my best. I think it's a responsibility that God gave to each of us. Amen. And so they will learn those traits from us as a father, hopefully, that will teach them to take them through the future days. And you know what? And they're going to live out what will be an example of us, of what we taught them and what we instructed them so many times. That's what they'll live out. Amen. Now, if you was to look that word heritage up, because it said we're the Lord's heritage, listen, it simply means this. It means it's property that he's going to inherit. They're what really belongs to him. And then the second definition said this, said it's a special or individual possession. I've preached many times since I've been here at the church. You know what? There's not a person here this morning at any age that's not special to the Lord. Amen. They don't have value to Him. Amen. No matter what stage of life you're in, I always say, when we get to the place we no longer have value to the Lord, believe me, He'll take us out of here. We won't be here any longer. But if you're here today, you need to realize you're special to Him. You're His individual possession. You have value to Him. Amen. And there's still something for you and I to do. Amen. So your children are a special possession to you and I as we're their father. Amen. And God gives them to us for a period of time. And I always think about that. None of us, although we all think that, you know what, we're probably going to be deceased before our children are. That's the normal cycle. And yet I know parents, and so do you, many of them today that have had children or have children that... you know what? Their children are taken from them at an early age. And so we should love our children as good fathers, and we should do our best to raise them, amen, and to teach them the right things, knowing, you know what, that they're only given to us for a period of time. And if they outlive us, that's a great thing. But if not, church, you know what, it's still important as to how we've guided that child's life, amen. We need to be a godly role model, if you would, or a godly example to our children. So let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 20 through 26. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Listen, in a great house, God's house, how many would say God's house is a great house? Listen, sometimes if we're not careful, we talked about that a little bit, although all of us have value to God, you know what? There's some people that attend church every Sunday that will dishonor God. It's an example here in the scripture of what it said. You know what? Most of the time, and if we're good vessels, you know what? We give honor to God and we respect God's house and we do those things of walking in obedience to Him. But we need to realize too, you know what? If we're not careful, we can be in God's house every Sunday and we can dishonor God in God's house. Amen. Verse 21 said, if a man therefore purged, now that word purge, most of you know, means to cleanse himself from these. And if you was to go back and you would search this out and find this scripture and read about it, it was talking about in that day that they should separate themselves. Listen. From every kind of evil there was in that day. Amen. Paul's actually talking to Timothy and in the church at Ephesus. And he's telling Timothy, you know what, Timothy? Make sure that you keep yourself clean and pure. Amen. That you don't associate with any evil whatsoever. Don't become a part of it. Don't enter into it. Amen. Don't in any way be a part of it. That's what he's talking about in this verse. He said himself for these. He shall be a vessel unto honor. A person that a vessel unto honor. First of all, that's sanctified. And meet or useful for the master's use. Now that word sanctified simply means to be set apart. When you come to Christ, He set you apart as a father. Me apart as a father. Or as an individual. What? So that we would be used by Him at some time, at the time that He wills and chooses. And be prepared, in other words, be ready to take advantage. We talked about that a little bit this morning in Sunday school. Be ready to take advantage of every opportunity that God gives you when it comes up. Amen? And so that's what he's telling Timothy. You know what? Take every opportunity, Timothy. But in doing that and walking away, never be deceived by thinking, you know what? To go along with the everyday program in the world's the way. Amen? To become what I want you to become. That won't work. Amen. All of us know, you know what? When there's sin in our lives, God will never use that sin in our lives. And we'll never be what God wants us to be when there's sin constantly within our life. Verse 22. He told him, he said, flee also youthful lust or youthful desires, but follow righteousness. Those things that are right, Timothy, make sure you're going after those things. Those are the things that you're chasing after, walking after, desiring, such as faith, charity or love, peace. And with them that call on the Lord, look, out of a pure heart. If you look that word pure up, that means this. It means it's not mixed with anything else except God. Amen. There's no uncleanliness in it. There's no sin in it. It's not mixed into anything else. It's a pure heart. And so Paul is admonishing Timothy here of these very things. And then he goes in verse 23, look what he says. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender or cause, that word means strife. Look, to just constantly do, I know some people, you know what, they'll bring up questions, whether it be to the pastor or in Sunday school or where it's at sometimes. Sometimes they'll just bring up foolish stuff or want to be disagreeable or find a reason, you know what, to bring up something to pull everything away from what God wants to get across. And he's warning Timothy. He said, you know what, Timothy, be careful of that. And he said, and the servant of the Lord must not strive or enter into strife, but look, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. Amen. In other words, you know what? We shouldn't get all uptight and in the air about everything and have wrong spirits and wrong attitudes. He tells him, he goes on, in meekness, look, instructing those that oppose themselves. He said when we enter into strife and we ask all kinds of questions like that that are unnecessary, that cause confusion in the body of Christ or for us to enter into strife and argument, you know what he said? He said they really oppose themselves. They're bringing problems to them, their own self, along with the body of Christ. If God peradventure will give them repentance to acknowledging of the truth. He said, the reason we handle them gently and patiently, you know what? Maybe they'll see what they're doing and come to the knowledge of what they're doing wrong there, you know what? And it'll cause them to repent before God. Look, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Look, when we're causing problems, dissension, argument. You know, I love that first song this morning when it talks about us being in harmony over and over again. That writer had a revelation. Amen. That's what God wants for our life. We're not to enter into all that other mess, church. Look, because he says it's a snare of the devil, which are taken captive of him at his will. Amen. As Christian fathers, listen, or role models or examples, however you want to say it this morning, you know what? Look, we can be a role model of godliness. Or we can choose to be a role model, you know what, for our children and our families or at church or any place we go that has no godliness in it at all, you know what, and we waste all the potential that God has put in mine and your life. Amen. Because we just will not do and follow along with what God would have us to do. Amen. And if we don't nurture certain qualities, if we fail to grow up, listen, and learn, and to desire the things of God, and to really grow in the things of God. If you want to be used of God, let me tell you, He'll have a path for your life and my life that so that we learn, you know what, we become an example of Him. His desire is that we learn to be just like Him. Amen. So it's a continual growth process. And it doesn't matter at what age it is, you know what, there's areas all of us, including Pastor, has to grow. But we need to be patient with one another. We should be gentle with one another. We ought to love one another and be respectful of one another. And so that's what Paul is addressing here with Timothy. Amen. He drew a picture, if you would, to Timothy. Amen. Of what the church is to be like. And what people are like that honor God. Look. And those that dishonor God. And so he's making a comparison of the two. And Paul wanted Timothy, we know more than anything else, Paul's desire for Timothy was that he would be a person that honored God and brought honor to God and to the kingdom of God. And so this morning, if you've got your handout or you're keeping notes this morning, number one is this, a godly example involves a cleansed life. We have to be cleansed by the blood of Christ. It requires that. Look at the beginning of verse 21 in the second chapter there. He said, if a man therefore purge himself, cleanse himself. Notice it's not God doing it all. He'll save you. His blood will cover your sin. He'll forgive you. But he admonishes each one of us as individuals. You know what? There's so many things in life, look, that I don't have to be in sin if I'll just cleanse myself. If I'll realize and read God's word, and I know it's sin, and I've been told it's sin, whether it's from a man of God or from the word, and if I'll listen to that, and I'll cleanse myself and let God come into my life and take me away from that and keep me away from that, you know what? I'll cleanse myself of those things. He said, if you'll do that, look, he said, you'll be a vessel unto what, church? Unto honor. You'll honor God. if you'll just do those things on your own. If you'll clean your life up and you'll let God teach you and not walk in ignorance to so many things or uncaring about so many things, you know what? He said, you and I can be a vessel of honor. Just clean our lives up. Amen? Cleanse ourselves. All of us today, you know what? We need to face the truth. You know what? We'll never be vessels of honor, like I said, you know what? If we want to continue with all the mess in our life. If we won't purify ourselves, if we won't ask God to forgive us and let Him begin to teach us and instruct us, amen? We need to choose friends. Listen to me, young people, especially. You need to choose friends that aren't taking you away from God. They're godly. They want to do the right things. You know what? Listen, they'll be in church with you. You know what? They'll keep you on the right path. If you want to go astray, I don't care if it's your boyfriend or girlfriend, a godly person wants to do what God wants. They'll make a godly choice to do what God would have them to do. Amen? And to walk with God. So you need to make sure you've got friends that's going to inspire you, teach you, and help instruct you and guide you along the way. Amen? And especially if you're dating or you feel like you're in love with this individual, they need to be, if you want to honor God, hang out with people, you know what, that's not going to drag you further into sin or teach you wrong things. The second thing this morning, being a godly example, means, you know what, we've got a sanctified life. A sanctified life. Look at verse 21 there in the middle. The word sanctified simply means, I've already told you that, it means set apart. To live a sanctified life simply means this: I live the way God wants me to live. Doesn't matter what. You know what? Every choice I make, every time I make a decision, you know what? I'm going to make it based on the Word of God and what God would have me do for my life. I'm set apart, you know what? To please Him, not to please my parents necessarily. Sometimes parents give kids wrong teaching and wrong guidance. They do. You know what? Sometimes, you know what? Boyfriends, girlfriends, husbands, wives, we give wrong teaching and wrong instruction to our family members sometimes. And we have to be people that's strong enough to say, you know what? It doesn't matter. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And I'm going to be the kind of person that God wants me to be. Amen. In St. John 3:3, it says this. It's Jesus speaking. Jesus, it's talking about, said, must increase, John said. But He said, I must decrease. That's a sanctified life. That's a life that says, you know what? I've been set apart. I realize, you know what? I'm not to be anything totally special or anything about that. I'm to have a sanctified life set apart, you know what? And I'm going to do what God wants me to do, and I'm going to follow after Him. And therefore, you know what? I decrease on the inside, realizing more and more every day, you know what? I become subjected to Him and what He wants in my life. That's a godly life, church, this morning. And so David said this, I love this, it was accenting a song, but David said this in Psalms 122:1, he said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord, amen. You know what, a person that loves you and cares about you, whether they're in your family or not, or your husband, wife, you know what, David said, I was glad when they'd say to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. He knew that's where he was fed. That's where he was nurtured. That's where he was going to learn more godliness and to be more like Him and would be pleasing to the Father. Amen. Do you get up in the morning? Can you say to your loved ones, you know what? Hey, I'm so glad this morning. Let's go to the house of the Lord this morning and enjoy His presence and what He's got for us, church. That's the kind of people that we need to be. We should be a godly example, number three, listen, that has a pure heart. 2 Timothy 2:22. I'm going to read that again. He said to flee also youthful lust or desires, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of what, church? A pure heart. Sometimes, you know what? Truthful. We don't get answers from God. We don't get the things from God that we want because, you know what? We know when we go to Him in prayer, we don't have a pure heart. We're asking when our heart's impure. Paul uses the word flee there, but listen, the English word for the word flee, if you make reference to it and look it up, is the word fugitive. So really what Paul's telling Timothy to do there, he's saying, you know what, Timothy, you run from everything that's not godly. And you stay away from it, you don't get near it, you don't touch it, you don't do any of that. And that's what will, Timothy, give you a pure heart. But make sure you stay away from those things and run from them as fast as you're able to run. Amen? In other words, we're able to be on the run from youthful desires, he said, all of us. and especially the youth. Youthful desires, listen, if you'd look that up and research that a little bit, here's what you'd find out most of the time it's talking about in God's Word. Sexual desires, pride, arrogance, an argumentative spirit, which I already mentioned a little bit, harshness, when people want to be harsh to other people in the body of Christ, and impatience. That word harshness just means cruel or severe, unpleasant in their judgments. Amen. Church, you know what? He said to make sure we keep our hearts pure no matter what, that we're to flee these other things. We're to be like a fugitive on the run, trying to stay away from, if you would, the authorities. You know what? I'm going to stay away from them. I'm going to hide out from them. I'm going to stay away from it as far as I can. You know what? Hoping, listen, that you never get caught up in any of that mess. Amen. We have too many people today, you know what, that give in way too easily about those kind of things that are ungodly today. And so we need to make sure when we go to Christ, listen, church, we go to Him with a pure heart. I've asked and repented, and I've searched through my heart. You know, David was one to always want to search God, to search his heart. God, if there's anything unclean in me, amen, clean it up, and we need to be like that. Fourth, to the fathers and each one this morning, a godly example means that we should have a discerning mind. A discerning mind. A mind that God can use, amen, to show us things along the way. 2 Timothy 2:23 says this, "But foolish and unlearned questions avoid." In other words, he's saying those things that just turn into ignorant disputes. Sometimes, listen, church, we're better off to keep our mouth shut than we are to say anything. Amen? We need to learn, you know what? Sometimes when we feel the check of the Holy Spirit, don't say it. Don't enter into it. Amen? Because when we do that, you know what? It just causes more and more problems. Because he says here, he says, knowing that they do gender or they cause strife. Some people argue over anything. Some people enjoy that. They think, you know what? If I can just get them off track a little bit, I'll have a fun time doing this. You know what? It's against the Word of God. It's not a good thing to do that, church. If we want to grow in God, we need to know, you know what? That's not something we ought to do. If we have a serious question or something we really want to know, but we should never do that out because, you know what? We just want to create or to show, you know what? How smart I think I am. We don't need to do those things. None of us. Amen. Usually those kind of people, listen, they generate, he told us, anger and conflict, bitter disagreement within the church. Amen. We're not to be people like that. Look, people that cause all kinds of disagreement, I'm talking anger-type disagreement in the church. You know what? Paul has already told Timothy, and he would say to you and I this morning, stay away from that, flee that, don't get around that. Amen. But a discerning mind, listen, because he tells this church, it's not an argumentative spirit. What's he say? Let's look at what he said in the Word. It's a gentle spirit. Look at 2 Timothy 2:24. He said, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but what? Be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient." He's saying, you know what? Look, if you get on the same level with them, and you're going to have an argumentative spirit all the time, or a mean spirit, or a harsh spirit. You know what? They're not going to learn anything from you except to be harsh themselves and bitter and angry. That's what they'll learn. It won't be anything godly. He said, you know what? We should be people that we learn eventually at some point in our life. You know what? Let's not handle that like that. That's my brother or my sister in Christ. Amen? Let's be gentle with one another and to love one another the way God said. And that's what Paul's telling Timothy here. Amen. The last thing this morning that I want to talk about, if we want to be parents or men, amen, or people that is a godly example, we need to have a humble and a compassionate heart, church. A humble and compassionate heart. Look at verses 25 and 26 again. He said in meekness, look, in humility, in other words, instructing or correcting those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Amen. See, look, if God has let me grow up in so many things, I don't need to go around telling everybody how great I am in the kingdom of God. I don't need to, and you don't need to, or anybody else. Look, we let God do that. Amen. God will take care of all that. Amen. Because he says, you know what, when I do that and I handle it rightly, you know what? They will come to a place of repentance. They'll have a right. It'll change their spirit. If I'll keep my spirit straight and right, guess what? It'll help them change their spirit. And in verse 26, look what it says. That they may recover, or in other words, come to their senses, so to speak, themselves. Why? That they would escape out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Look, he lets us know, you know what? It's a wrong spirit. It's not a godly spirit. It's a spirit, what? Of the enemy, of the devil. When we enter into those kinds of things, it's just an automatic wrong thing to do. One of the greatest challenges, listen, associated with being a godly example means, you know what? We learn how to oppose others correctly. Doesn't mean we can't correct them. The Bible says we should. It doesn't mean we can't rebuke them. We should, if they're wrong. But you know what? It says we'll learn to do it in a right, gentle type way, in a right attitude, with a right spirit. We'll learn how to treat one another right, with a right spirit, amen, and not enter into those things, amen, where there's always fussing and fighting and all kinds of problems, amen. So there's times, listen, we have to, don't we? As a pastor, as a Sunday school teacher, it doesn't matter what office you're in, sometimes just as person to person. With your family. In their times you have to correct your kids and your children. In their times you have to rebuke your children if you want them to do the right things and you want them to stay on the right path. Sometimes we have to do that. You know what? It's the same way in the family of God. Sometimes we have to do those things. Not that we ought to enjoy that. I can tell you, I don't ever enjoy that. Not ever. But there's times I've had to do that, and you know what? I want to have the right kind of spirit when I do those things, and so should you, amen? And so we want to have a heart of humility and a compassionate heart that God would bring them and let them see that God would do it, not me, not you, that God would let them see. You know what? I need to repent, Lord, for what I said or did there. I need to make that right. I want my heart to be pure. I want my heart to be right, okay? So Paul was talking then about those who teach incorrect doctrine. If you study that out, that's what he's, those who teach incorrect things, those who practice ungodliness, that's who Paul was telling Timothy, and that's what he's telling Timothy. You know what? We need to make sure that we're busy about doing and handling things the right way, because that's who he was talking to and about at that time. If we're going to be, listen, a vessel of honor for God's service, listen, we're going to have to be a godly example. Amen. We can't be part godly example sometimes, and the next time we turn around, you know what? We're an ungodly example. That'll never work. He tells us, and Paul's telling Timothy, you've got to get to the place that you're a godly example. You know what? All the time. Amen. God's desire, listen, is to change you and me so we become like him. Amen. Be like Jesus so that we're an example all the time of the kingdom. Amen. We need to be concerned for those who are captured by the devil himself and those who are teaching or setting under or be an example of ungodly doctrine, if you would, church. Doctrine that's just not the truth. Amen. Faulty thinking about the things of God. Amen. All of us have a responsibility, you know what, to make sure that we help God's word, when necessary, that it's taught in total truth and accuracy of the scripture. Amen. So we do it in humility. Amen. That God may help bring any of us that's out of order to repentance. Amen. It's not a hard thing. It shouldn't be. If we really want to do what God wants, you know, we need to be people sometimes, you know what, first and foremost, that'll go to somebody and say, hey, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that, and I apologize for that. God, I want my heart to be right. I want to feel right on the inside. I want to be the person, God, that you want me to be. And I know, you know what? I can only do that if I've got a pure heart. Amen. The church that God needs, you know what, is a church that needs to be godly examples. I believe our churches today, many of them, you know what, have very few people. You know why? Because sometimes we've not been the godly examples we ought to be. The world don't have faith in the church much anymore. I can tell you. I deal with a lot of people all the time and talk to them. And many, many of them are, you know what? I live better and I'm better than the people that go to church. I hear it all the time from people that don't go to church. Amen. Call it an excuse, whatever we want. But It's what they'll say. Our homes need to be godly examples. It starts there, church. It starts, you know what, in my home. I can't live one thing at church and go home and my kids and my family and everybody that I touch their life, you know what, I'm something different with them. That won't work either. You know what? I need to be a godly example all the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, no matter where I'm at and who I come in contact with. Amen? Because if I'm a godly example there, guess what? It begins to get out into our community or the area and to other people. You know what? And then we bring that, the goodness of God, to the house of God. Amen? And not only do we bring that with us, you know what? Usually we'll bring others with us to the church, you know what? Because they know you're a person that lives what you say you should live. Amen? We're the example of that. So here's the question today of all of us, including me. I thought about as I prepared the message, you know what? God help me with my children. Mary, I think, would tell you, and she is too. I can honestly tell you I wasn't one to always live a godly example, but I do my best to treat my kids and to live a godly life, even sometimes when, you know what, they disappoint me or they hurt me, church. I've learned to pray and give it to God. Say, God, you know what, I ask you to touch them in their heart and their spirit, amen, and to help them to see. I don't have a lot of that anymore, but when we want to be what God wants us to be, you know what, it's not a big thing that we win an argument. Or that we, you know what, that we're the kind of person that no matter what, I'm going to win at this. That's a wrong spirit. We need to have a gentle spirit that says, God, I want your will in this more than anything. And if I've been wrong, God, show it to me. And then to have a pure heart and go to that individual or whoever we need to and say, you know what, I'm sorry. I want to be the example of Christ in my life. And please forgive me. Amen. Stand with me this morning. Amen. There's things I know all of us, we never get to the place, listen church, that we can't grow or that we don't need to learn. And we do need to make those corrections in our families, with our kids, in our church. But they do need to be done in a godly way, in a right spirit, amen. Talking right to one another. I can tell you, I've learned in my lifetime that we can do a lot more good by doing that than we'll ever do by being argumentative with one another. Amen. We need to be in harmony. We need to have a melody, as the song said this morning, in our hearts with one another and with Him. And we'll be what He wants us to be as a people and as a church. And then we can touch, hopefully, our community and other people's lives. Amen. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. I thank you for Paul's teaching and his writing to Timothy. I pray that you would help all of us, that we would go back and read and reread, and we would think about that, think about our own attitudes and our own spirits. You're not an argumentative spirit. That's ungodliness. You are a gentle spirit. I pray you would help all of us, God, that we would learn that we would begin to live that, we would consider the things we say or do before we do them. I pray that you would help us to be a church that just continues to come together to love one another proper and right, realizing that, you know what, we are touching people's lives in the community round about us, our own families. And God, if we want them to live godly lives, we need to be people that live godly lives ourselves. I thank you for the way that you help us to grow. Thank you for your word. It teaches us and gives us instruction. I pray that you would help us not to be ignorant, that you would help us to receive it. Help us to walk in it and help us to grow up into it to be more and more like you. In Christ's name, amen. Everybody have a great Father's Day today. And all you ladies, take us men somewhere and buy us a steak or something. If you don't have anybody to take, they can pitch in and help on the other end. Can't they, William? Amen. I'm just kidding, but amen. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you for listening to our message today. If you enjoyed this message, please let a friend know. If you'd like to contact our pastor, please call us at 765-332-2376. For more information about our church, you may visit our website at chicagocornerchurch.org. Church service is on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. You are always welcome to visit us in person.